show about nothing is off and rolling. We bring you headlines brought to you by VenueKings.com. Boy, we got some breaking news.
No news, no headlines, nothing going on.
Carlos Dunlap now is a new member of your Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
John Schneider has traded a 7th-round draft pick and never used B.J. Finney to the Cincinnati Bengals for Carlos Dunlap, who's 31. He'll turn 32 in February. He's got this year, next year on his deal. We'll get into it all because we have slick cap here.
Oh.
We will get into all the financial implications this year and next year. Next year doesn't even matter, but we'll get to that here in a second. He's 6'6", 285 pounds of just goodness. 82 and a half sacks in 11 seasons, had 9 last year. You remember when the Seahawks played the Bengals last year?
Yeah.
Game one. He had a sack, 7 tackles, had a couple tackles for losses, and he has been a pretty good player in the NFL. And certainly, is he elite? Well, we'll discuss that. You're not getting anyone at this time of year if they're elite, but
right.
He's better than anything you got right
yeah.
now. All right. Congratulations to the Doyers. They capture a World Series championship yesterday, first time in 32 years. Corey Seager named the MVP.
How about that?
And congratulations to your Sounders. 12th consecutive season. They are in the postseason. Clinched the playoff spot yesterday with a win over Vancouver. That game, ironically, played in America's Vancouver. The win also pushes the Sounders back into first place in the West. Sounders Weekly tonight, 7 o'clock right here on 950 KJR.
The celebratory Sounders
by Jackson
Weekly.
Feltz. Yes.
Be happy.
University of Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Football team is pausing all football-related activities. 12 people associated with the program. They've got the COVID. Badgers game against Nebraska this weekend is off. Everson Griffin will not be coming to Seattle. He went from the Cowboys to the Lions yesterday. And Dez Bryant is on the practice squad for the Ravens. All right. How are you, sir? You happy?
Yeah. I'm happy. It's good.
John Schneider.
They done good.
For you?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice work, John. Nice work, Johnny. This is what we needed. We needed you, and you did it.
Way to go, 12.
There you go. There it is. Way to go, 12. Well.
Needed something.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, at this point, did it really matter what it was going to be that you were going to get? You needed something, for the love of God, on that defensive line.
Yeah.
And clearly what they had was just not good.
Mm-hmm.
And is he, you know, you're going to hear from one gentleman discussing Carlos Dunlap here in just a second, but what is he? He brings in experience. He brings in a history of at least getting after the quarterback. And it's just something, he feels like he's more of a natural defensive end than you ever had in Clowney. I believe he has more sacks this year. He only has one, but that's one more than Jadeveon Clowney.
That's true.
Yeah. And he's only, and here's the sad state of affairs for your Seahawks. The one sack that he does have, it would only put him one behind the leader in the clubhouse on this team.
You got two. You got Maioa and you got Jamal Adams.
So it can't hurt. And you gave up nothing for him.
Nothing.
I mean, nothing. You got out of a Finney deal that, again, he didn't do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave up a 7th-round draft pick. Like, you gave up nothing for him.
Yeah.
For the opportunity of a guy, maybe he comes in, he plays with, as you said, I don't want to steal it, comes in with a little red ass to
him? Yeah, I think so. I think he does. I think he's got something to prove. He's pissed off at Cincinnati for how they treated him this year and kind of relegating him to the bench. Yeah, I think he does have a little red ass to him, and he wants to make them pay.
And hopefully, maybe, just maybe, I don't know. I never close the door on any of these things. We never say that trades can't... Oh, look over there. We never say that trades can't happen.
We're optimistic here. Show of optimism.
He's not here yet. We never say that trades can't happen because we don't know.
Oh, no.
Inside the facility what they can and can't do. See him in there yet. He'll be here at 12:45. Maybe we'll get an apology this time.
No, I don't think so. I don't think we would be. You know what? His grand point was accurate. Like, they can't do anything big, really, probably.
But no one was talking
without
about anything.
A big, without making a big
but
shake.
But nobody was talking about anything big. There's no one big available.
Yeah, I mean,
I
guess that's...
I mean, who was available?
Well, Watt, maybe.
Okay.
If you're looking at JJ, if you're what they wanted, and some people want, and I wouldn't mind it, them going after like a JJ Watt.
Sure.
And you know, there are problems, obviously, compensation wise. You don't have many draft picks. You don't have much cap space. It would take finagling, which this deal obviously took. I mean, you got them to take BJ Finney, which helps relieve a little bit of the financial burden.
But that's what we talked about. I mean, you could either wait for them to release him, which they probably would have ultimately done anyways.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, to release him out and just cut him. But here's the thing. You strike fast. You don't get him this week. You're going to get him for the Bills game.
Yeah.
And you look at the compensation. Just, you didn't give up anything.
Seventh round pick.
And don't
whatever.
Worry about next year. Who cares about next year? First of all, he's not going to be on the team next year.
I don't think so.
You're going to cut him.
Yeah.
He's not going to ever see that money that he's owed next year at all. What is he owed next year?
He's owed, it's 13.5 against the cap.
Yeah, but he's not going to.
But here's the thing. Well, here's the thing. That's from them. So I mean, really, it's going to be like 11.25. But here's the point. They take on the prorate, the salary bonus, the bonus signing bonus. They take that on. So you can cut him for free next year.
Yeah, you're going to be good. So don't even worry about him next year.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes financially,
yeah.
The likelihood that Carlos Dunlap's on the football team next year,
low.
Slim to none.
Low, low, low.
You're
low.
Getting Carlos Dunlap for the rest of this season and hopefully for a playoff push. You're renting him.
For under $5 million.
Yeah, you're renting a guy. Mm-hmm. And to see maybe if, and he knows this. He knows what's going on. He knows he's not going to see that.
He'll go and be a free agent.
And so he's going to try and bust his ass here for the, you know, you're hoping, this is what you're hoping,
yeah.
That he busts his ass for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Puts enough great stuff on film that then someone, you know, in the offseason overpays him.
This just became a contract year for Carlos Dunlap.
So you got
a defensive end who last year had 9 sacks, who's in a contract year busting his ass
Win-win chicken
dinner. There's no doubt. If anybody is upset about this, there is no downside.
Oh, I'm sure we can find someone.
Who? Who could possibly have a problem
Slick
with
Huck,
this?
I don't know. Someone's going to be mad about it.
If you have a problem with this, you're like a Niners fan or something.
Find something on the Twitter. I guarantee you can find somebody upset about it. Do we have the sound?
It would upset me. Yeah,
So Steve Palazzolo, who joins Ian every Tuesday from Pro Football Focus, was on yesterday, and they started off their conversation. It was like a minute snippet of talking about several guys, but they talked about Carlos Dunlap. And here's what Steve from Pro Football Focus, he offered his thoughts on Carlos Dunlap.
Can we start in Cincinnati and maybe get your thoughts on Carlos Dunlap?
Yeah, well, I'm in Cincinnati too, and he's putting his house up on the market. So he is not happy right now.
Cincinnati, Steve.
He's coming out of the game talking about he's not a part of the game plan and everything. You know, with Dunlap, he's an interesting case because he's coming off of one of his best seasons. He hasn't been nearly as good this year, and I think that's part of why, you know, the Bengals aren't, you know, they're not using him as much, and he's not a part of their plans. You know, at his best, he's one of the better run defenders in the entire NFL as far as edge defenders go. But this year, he's not playing well. I mean, that's part of it. He's only played 277 snaps, grading in the 50s when you normally look. The rest of his career, grading 70s, 80s. Again, last year, career year, 89.7. So you're 1 year removed from his best work, but this year has not been it. And that's part of the reason why he's on the trading block.
Is he a pass rusher at all? I mean, you talked about his ability as an edge run defender. What about on the pass rush?
Yeah, I mean, he's better than what the Seahawks have had. So that's at least an upgrade. He had, you know, over 50 pressures last year. He had over 70 pressures a couple of years ago. He's a good, not great pass rusher. Again, just using green is good, blue is elite. He's been in the green for the majority of his career. He's a good pass rusher off the edge. Again, struggling this year, but historically he's been pretty good.
That's my favorite. Well, I mean, he's not elite, but he's better than anything they've got. Which is true.
Yeah.
Which is, again, sad. And you know what? Which, again, I think we should praise the organ. We've always... At least I've always praised the organization for always being uber aggressive on
sure.
That. Now, whether they work out or not, you know, that's we always have to wait, I think, until after the fact. Now, not all of them are great. You didn't like the Jamal. I'm not bringing this up just to say, you know,
make
sure that, you know, let's beat up on Slick Hawk. You didn't like the Jamal Adams deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that...
Not like I don't like having Jamal Adams.
No, you don't.
I didn't like giving up 2 firsts, a third, and Bradley McDougal for a position that I didn't feel like was in dire need when defensive line, you had all kinds of holes along the defensive line.
What I think we can agree on, though, is you like how aggressive they are.
Absolutely.
They are, without a doubt, the most aggressive organization, hell, maybe in sports.
They will go and get it.
And he will move guys. They'll cut guys. They'll move on. They will go out and try to acquire the best talent they possibly can get. And we've just seen it from day one. And they just have continued to do it.
Yeah.
And so you give them credit for what they've been able to pull off here with Dunlap. It also is kind of a commentary on you didn't really address it in the offseason, and you had all offseason to do it, but whatever.
I mean, but you know,
we're past the offseason now, yeah, so now we're in the season. But so you know what I mean? I don't almost want to give them so much prey because they put themselves in this position to have to go out and get Carlos Dunlap now, but you didn't give up anything.
Well, they tried to patch it together kind of on the cheap and see if they could deal with it in-house, but with the draft and with, sure. You know, this is what they do a lot, though, too. I mean, even when they addressed the pass rush issues back in the 2012 offseason going into the Super Bowl year, what do? Well, they get Michael Bennett off the scrap heap, and they bring in Cliff Averill on a prove-it deal, you know, 1 year removed from being Detroit's franchise player. That's what they went on the cheap again out in free agency. So they were trying to do that same formula and it didn't work. So, you know, credit them for being able to recognize that and do an about face and go and get one of the more talented pass rushers there on the league.
Well, we'll spend a big chunk of the day talking about this deal. If you're just joining us, if you're just waking up, getting your coffee, whatever you're doing, you're jumping in the car, you're turning on Alexa, you're turning on Google, you're listening to the iHeartRadio app right now. You're wondering what the hell's going on. Carlos Dunlap acquired by the Seattle Seahawks for a 7th-round draft pick and B.J. Finney, a guy who you thought was going to be your starting center this year, and then obviously that did not take place, who you gave $8 million for 2 years. You get a guy who's been in the league for 11 years in Carlos Dunlap, 6'6", 285, defensive end, 82.5 sacks in his 11 seasons there with the Cincinnati Bengals. So we'll talk a lot about that today. Quickly, we'll do a little baseball at 11 o'clock with Jeff Nelson, our good buddy, to wrap up the World Series and just such a 2020 scene last night. I mean, they get a World Series title. Justin Turner's got COVID. He's supposed to isolate. He doesn't isolate. I mean, it's all over the place.
A mess.
Brisket and Ball with Tony Softly, brought to you by Jack's Barbecue at 11:20. Factor Fiction at 11:35. Our final Pucks Ponies today.
This is
final
it?
One, yeah.
Season's ending?
Yeah, and then we'll do our top story of the day and our lunch break, and then it's a What's Up With That Wednesday coming up at 12:20. 12:20 coming up later on the show. We will dip our toes a little bit of baseball talk. Just a surreal scene yesterday there in Texas. Jeff Nelson's going to help us break it down at 11 o'clock. Brisket and Ball with Tony Softly's. We'll talk extensively, obviously, about the Carlos Dunlap trade with him. It's all brought to you by Jack's Barbecue. Factor Fiction, 11:35. We've got a game we have circled. Our final Pucks Ponies coming up at 11:45. Also, our Tweet of the Day. And if you're a gambling man on Tweet of the Day, this one's going to break your heart,
yeah.
Especially if you're into gambling and fantasy football.
I'm into both of those things.
And then 12:20, What's Up With That Wednesday? We'll take your text, 49451, anything you'd like to ask us. When there's a big deal, and we have a big deal today, Carlos Dunlap has been traded to the Seahawks for a 7th-round draft pick and B.J. Finney. We only go to one person and one person only. We go to the high hills up in Renton. He overlooks the shores of Lake Washington. He peers down into John Schneider's desk. He can see the moves that he's making.
Way to go, 12.
Curtis, did you watch John Schneider make the phone call to get Carlos Dunlap done?
Well, John Schneider once, you know, accused me of hanging out in his bedroom to get stories. So, I mean, I guess I'll just leave that out there.
Wow. Well, I would do that.
Did you?
I plead the fifth.
Does he wear the championship belt to bed?
Potentially.
And does Way he wear to go, 12. Anything other than the championship belt to bed?
Hey. Don't. This is a family program.
Sorry.
And these are the things. Other shows cross the line. We do not cross the line on this show.
Oh, okay. No, right? We just move the line completely.
We do not cross the line. Curtis, reactions to the Carlos Dunlap trade?
Frankly, a little bit surprised they were able to move B.J. Finney more so than anything else, I think, in my mind, as part of this trade. I mean, you have a guy who signed a 2-year, $8 million deal with you back in the spring, and you've had 4 different guards play for you so far this season, and he hasn't played a single snap on offense. to then be able to turn around and move him as part of a deal with only a seventh round pick to get a guy like Carlos Dunlap, who, granted, is not the player he once was and had, you know, a pretty significant falling out going on with the Bengals right now. But even still, that's, you know, they need pass rush help to try to bolster whatever they're trying to do on defense at the moment. And to bring him in is certainly for the trade that they, for the pieces that they were able to move, it certainly makes all the sense in the world for Seattle.
Curtis, salary cap wise, so I mean, shipping out Finney, does that do enough? Because I think it's what, $4.8 million that Dunlap's going to have attached to him coming back over? Or are they going to have to do something else? Cut a player, restructure a contract, something like that?
Pretty sure they're going to have to do a little something else, because when I looked at the NFLPA's cap numbers yesterday, Seattle had $1.3 million in cap space. And, I mean, even beyond the trade itself, you're going to need more cap space as this year goes along. Mm-hmm. So I do believe they will need to do some sort of finagling on the contract front to make this all work eventually. I believe that Dunlap will be bringing over, I think, about $4.8 million in total commitments for this year, with about 4.6 of that being the, you know, prorated base salary for the season. And then, you know, he's got I think $500,000 in total of per game roster bonuses, so Seattle will pick up half of that at 250, and so I think that gets you to around $4.8 million. Finney shipping out I think carries it was like $1.3 million or something, so there's a gap there that needs to be covered in some form or fashion. So it offsets some of the move for sure, but not all of it if all they had was $1.3 million in cap space yesterday.
And this would seem to, and again, I don't know all their camp, cap implications, but they can always finagle anything and everything in terms of when it comes to the cap. They can get very creative. You think they're done? You think they can have one more little trick up their sleeve?
Maybe. I mean, at this point, you're starting to run out of draft picks to throw in deals.
Just get rid of all of the draft, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess, but
we're not drafting this year.
I don't think I would do that, but yeah. So, I mean, could there be something else potentially out there? Sure, but I mean, at some point, you know, you got to have guys play too, and right. You know, at some point, it gets redundant if you're, you know, taking playing time across the board for the different additions and such. And I mean, you're going to get Rasheem Green back off of IR sometime in the next few weeks to be a part of the mix. Damon Harrison should be coming up from the practice squad sometime in short order to fit into it as well. So at that point, you might just be kind of bumping guys off the roster. And to some extent, you could say, well, so be it. But, you know, they do have contracts and commitments and stuff. So it's maybe not all that easy.
In your best estimation, this happened, I mean, 45 minutes ago, so we understand if you don't have, I guess an hour ago, if you don't have all the information on Dunlap, but what happened in Cincinnati as far as why was his usage scaled back, and where did things become disgruntled?
Well, I think, I mean, we are in the second year of a new head coach. They're in Cincinnati. They're starting to push forward with the Joe Burrow era, obviously. Long term, Carlos Dunlap is not going to be a part of it. He's 31 years old as it is right now. And my guess is that he just wasn't super productive for him. I mean, he was playing, you know, snap shares of over 70% in three of the first four games for them. And then dropped to 46%, 45%, and then just 23% with 12 snaps played against Cleveland last week. It just seemed like they were starting to get to be on the outs, and Dunlap was getting vocal about not enjoying the fact that his playing time was being cut. And you know, he's been there, you know, much like A.J. Green has, he's been there for a decade or so, riding through all of the Bengals' ups and downs and never getting past the first round of the playoffs and all that. And I think he just probably expected a little bit more kind of reciprocity from Cincinnati for the effort that he's put in over that time. So I did get a kick out of him saying after the game on Sunday, after he blew up at a coach on the sideline, assumingly for lack of playing time, that he basically posted his condo for sale via Twitter right after
via
that.
Twitter,
I mean, yeah, basically said, yeah, there's a condo, you know, I got a condo, there's a condo for sale downtown, such and such, and he gave details of it. That made me laugh. But yeah, it was definitely on the outs for them.
Yeah, this was something. There was an article that was written, I think, a few weeks ago in The Athletic covering this, and just in terms of from the get-go since Zach Taylor's taken over, it's just been an unhappy relationship, not only with Carlos Dunlap, but also with Geno Atkins. That for, you know, the transition of a new coach, a new system, maybe they don't want those guys to play. Those guys are aging, you know, they're veterans. They're 11 years in the league. You know, they want to win, and they don't like the rebuilding aspect of it, and maybe there was some thought they would be traded in the offseason. That didn't happen, and then they're not playing, and it just has led to bad feelings all around. And it took an unfortunate turn, I think, in the last week or two. And you don't like to see players posting stuff on social media of the game plan. I mean, I thought I'm glad that Carlos Dunlap is here now, but that's over the line. That crossed the line. You can be unhappy with your situation, but now you're violating the trust of your team and the players that you're going to battle with by doing that. I mean, that was a bad move by Carlos Dunlap, but again, whatever. He's now a member here of the Seattle Seahawks. He won't play this week. He'll be ready to go, at least he can, for the Bills game, correct?
Yeah, in theory, yeah. I mean, basically the COVID-19 intake protocols is basically, I think it's a 5 or 6 day full process between getting here, getting into the testing, and all of that. So, I mean, there's nothing he could do to play on Sunday at this point, given the way that things are currently structured, and then would get onto the field to practice with them, you know, at some point next week, and then ramp up for the Bills game. So, that would be the timeline for him to, and obviously he's got to get here and pass a physical at some point in time too to complete the deal, and vice versa with Finney going to Cincinnati. But that would be how the process goes from here.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out his role, you know, who gets bumped, maybe relegated to more of a backup role, whether it's going to be Mayoa or Collier, or how that you expect that to shake out.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, at this point, I think they got to be, open to just about anything to fix the defense. I don't think anybody's job is going to be too set in stone there. So, I would expect them to toy around with stuff and, you know, I don't know if he's more comfortable as a right end or a left end, or, you know, what his kind of best fit would be with what Seattle tries to do. If he's more of a five tech end or more of a straight pure pass rusher off the edge, or, you know, the best way that they'll try to mix him in. I need to go watch some more of him and kind of remind myself of the player he is, because I don't watch a ton of Bengals games, but, I think they'll be open to any number of things. I don't know if he's ever kicked inside to rush over guards or anything in certain situations. It gives them some options for sure to try different things and try to conjure up some sort of a more sustainable pass rush than they've had through the first half of the season.
Curtis Crabtree is our Seahawks reporter. Follow him on Twitter at Curtis_Crabtree. All of his work up at SportsRadioKJR.com. He's been covering the Seahawks for years. He hates the Bengals, and he admits that he doesn't watch them play. And there's nothing wrong with that, because who would? But they do have the best helmets, I think, in football. I think we can
agree. Great helmets.
I think we can agree. I mean, come on. Those things are beautiful.
Great. No, they're great.
That's the best helmet in
football. I love them.
God, it's beautiful.
I like it when they go with the white and the black. Remember they did that for a while, too?
No.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
No. I just like the traditional. They've got the little orangey, they've got almost a little too orange, like a lighter orange lately.
Huh.
Like, I want Icky Woods Boomer size.
Oh, yeah.
For an updated uniform.
Huh. But go back to the Boomer Esiason colors. Like, it was a darker orange.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
And who didn't do the icky shuffle in their living
room? Oh, come on. Curtis did. Hey, when's the best case scenario for Rasheem Green?
Well, he's expected to come back to practice this week. I think it would be a long shot to expect him to play on 3 days of practice coming off the downtime that he's had. Maybe he could if he really showed in practice, but I would guess more so than not, it would probably be the Buffalo game as well.
And I ask this just because I swear to God, if there's two people in this world that love the guy more than anyone, Pete Carroll and Dave Mahler. What's the status with Daryl Taylor? I mean, if I had a penny for every time someone, wait till we get Daryl Taylor back. Like, what do you mean back from what? You haven't seen Daryl Taylor at all. So I don't expect anything from Daryl Taylor. Like, is he going to play at all this year? Like, what is he doing right now?
He is working to get back from his stress fracture surgery that he had back in the early parts of this year.
What does that entail? He's not actually practicing, is he?
No, he's on the non-football injury list, so he can't practice.
So he's running around, like running sprints and things?
He's doing conditioning and strength training and that sort of stuff to try to get back up to shape and form to where he can then try to get back into the football stuff. So Carroll told us last week or the week before that, I mean, they're not ruling out him being able to get back with them this season, but he's not right on the cusp yet either. Basically what happened was, I think right in the meat of when his you know, recovery time from the surgery would be, I think was when kind of everything got shut down by COVID, which made doing the rehab and stuff maybe a little bit more challenging. And basically he just didn't take as quickly, and the rehab didn't come along as quickly as they were foreseeing, and the progress on that has kind of been lagging a little bit behind. So he's running, he's doing that sort of stuff. He hadn't been doing a bunch of change of direction yet, so he's getting closer to that point. So we're still a little ways out here, but I mean, hypothetically, if he can just be a speed rusher off the end, I think he would have an easier chance fitting in than LJ Collier did a year ago because of what they would ask them to do. Collier had to have kind of a varied role where he needed to, you know, two gap at times and pick up different things, and obviously load on his injured ankle and all of that. Taylor, you might just be able to ask to be a speed rusher off the edge and kind of give him kind of a limited role, but he's got to get all the way back before you can even kind of broach that.
You guys talked to Carroll today, right? What's the odds that Adams gets on the field on Sunday?
I don't know for certain. He will probably need to be, I mean, I would expect he has to practice by tomorrow in order for that to be any reasonable bit of a possibility, given the fact that he's been out a month now. They wouldn't just have him practice for a light practice on Friday and then send him out there to play in a big physical game against the 49ers, I wouldn't expect. So Pete talks about it all the time that they want to see a guy come back to practice, see how he responds the next day, like, you know, coming out of the day's work, like, is he super sore? Is the injury flare up again or anything like that? And put a couple days together back to back to be sure that they can get him back. And so they don't want this to be an issue where he comes back too quickly and then it's another month.
Right.
Because, you know, a groin issue is pretty substantial for lateral movement and stuff. And you move it the wrong way and all of a sudden you're back on the sidelines again.
Hey, Curtis.
Yes.
15 days.
It's going to be strange, man.
Mm-hmm. 15 days, Curtis. Right now, I want a 15-day out prediction. A 15-day out. This can change. And we won't hold you to it unless you get it right. 15 days out. The winner of the Masters is?
Bryson DeChambeau.
Wow. Oh, he went with Bryson. Thank you, Curtis. You're the best. Thank you for doing this on short notice.
See you, boys.
Here he is.
He really carried 400 yards with his driver. You think he did? Yeah.
Did you see him hit it?
No. It was like one of those long drive competitions.
I don't know where he was at. I don't know if this was the drive he did it.
Yeah.
But I saw it on social media yesterday of him hitting a driver someplace, and he swung so hard. He fell, like he grunted, like he made this like Serena Williams guttural type of just like, wah! And he almost fell over. He backed 6 yards. He almost fell over. Like, so I don't know if that was the swing he did it on, but I believe he did.
And he does it pretty straight too, doesn't he? I mean, relatively.
I don't doubt him. But he put whatever driver, this 40-inch driver in his bag, and hit it 400 yards. Yeah.
They have to Bryson-proof these courses now?
Jesus, dude. He's amazing. All right, so there we go. Big news of the day. Carlos Dunlap, now a member of your Seattle Seahawks. And again, cannot hurt. It's a win-win all the way around. For this organization.
Yeah, I'm not seeing negative attitudes. No, there's one person who's like, well, this isn't the end all be all. Like, why should we get excited?
Well, that's kind of negative.
It's like, why should we get excited? I mean, this isn't going to fix it all.
Well, there we go. We found him.
Yeah.
We found the person.
But nobody who's like against the move, because how could you be? A 7th round pick and a player that you were never going to see play.
Let's go and let's next segment turn it over to you.
Okay.
Because there are. People will cite over the cap. People will cite Spotrac. I don't. My official word on all things contract related.
Yeah.
is not 100% cemented, in my opinion, until I hear from Slick Cap.
I like my meat like I like my coffee and women. Dark.
Just the hate in Softy's voice. This is the worst run organization in sports. We'll talk a little baseball. We'll move past the Seahawks, the big news today with Carlos Dunlap for a few minutes, top of the hour with Jeff Nelson to talk about that World Series last night. And just, I mean, it had everything. Dodgers win it. Blake Snell, my God, is throwing the game of his life.
Bro, I'm risking my life.
And then some dork in a basement says, excuse me, you have to pull him from the game now. He's not allowed to pitch anymore. So then that ruined it.
I just felt so bad for him, but he's out here risking his life. He's risking his life.
I'm risking my life.
And I'm not even going to let him pitch.
Because I do want to get to that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was still a terrible move. I'm not going to get all worked up because he got worked up. Because this dude didn't even want to play this year.
But he did.
He did, but he bitched and moaned about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever.
Could have been the hero.
Could have been. He's bitching great. I mean.
Well, we have time to get into this. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Slick.
Cy Young winner.
Spotrac, no. Over the cap, no.
But kind of, but no. Because I use them a lot.
We only go to one source. And one source only.
All right.
God, they're showing old NFL Films video right now on the TV, and I'm just seeing all the old uniforms, and they just showed the Bengals. God,
oh, yeah.
Bless it, they're beautiful.
Different anyway, orange, huh?
Oh, there's the Zorn! Zorn! Look at the uniforms! Anyways. Here comes the money. We only turn to one source. You can follow him on Twitter, at SlickCap. Check out his website, slickcap206.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we turn to Slick Cap. Now give me a Slick Cap, all of the particulars on the deal.
All right.
And how this works out for the Seahawks.
Well, there are a couple things that go along
with it. If you make any mistakes, we won't talk about it.
You won't be able to check anyway, because that's going to take a lot of research.
The Slick Cap music was... You don't have that on a loop, that Slick Cap?
I do. The Here Comes the Money. Yeah, I could do that. We could do that.
No, that was way better than what you were playing.
Okay. All right.
That was the best intro ever to Slick Cap.
Here comes the money.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Money no max.
Here comes the money.
I like my meat like I like my coffee and women. Dog.
Here we go. Here's Slick Cap.
All right. So the Seahawks were going with the figure of $1.5 million that they were working with in salary cap before anything happened with this move. Let's talk about what they sent away, and that's BJ Finney. Now, with that, they're going to save $1.75 million in base. They lose $1 million because of next year's signing bonus. They have to pay that. The Bengals aren't going to pay that. The Seahawks are. So you're saving all total just under $1 million with that. It's not a huge savings by getting rid of BJ Finney. Your real value is you don't have to pay him next year. So there's that. Then Carlos Dunlap comes. $4.8 million is going to be his remaining cap hit for the Seahawks this year. So you just do the math. Uh-oh. That puts them in the hole, $2.65 million. So there is going to have to be, I'm pretty sure, some kind of corresponding move coming along to be able to add Carlos Dunlap to their books. Couple things that you can do. Jacob Hollister, if you trade, I think he's a prime candidate to be traded. You trade or cut him, you're going to save yourself about $2 million. So there's something you can do there. Restructuring Bobby Wagner, that's another option. Now, he's owed about $6 million this season. You can take that money. You can turn it into signing bonus. That's going to add $2 million onto each season. So two this year, two next year, and two in 22. So you would save $4 million for the rest of this year just by doing that. So I think that's a real good option. You just shift a little bit of money around, add to next year.
Could you do that with Wilson as well?
You could do it with Wilson. I mean, you could do it to the tune of up to probably, I mean, in the offseason, I was talking about doing, you know, $16 million, something like that, $20 million. You could do a lot if you needed to with Wilson. I would save that for a rainy day, though, just in case down the road next year you want to do something. But because it's such a small thing, you just need to free up a couple million dollars. So I say Wagner, a great option to do that. You also have the option of saving about $1 million if you move Cedric Abouye, but I don't know if you're going to want to do something else with the offensive line. So there are little things that they can do, little get $1 million here, $1 million there. Poof, there it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure why you trust anyone else. His name's Slick Cap. You can follow him on Twitter at Slick Cap and check out the website slickcap206.com.
None of those are real things, but
this guy knows more about the cap than anyone. So take that to the bank, Slick Cap, with his breakdown of the Carlos Dunlap deal. And here's the deal with the people are going to see the figure next year.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth reminding, do not focus on next year's number with him. Don't worry about the money that he is owed next season.
Well, just like I talked with you about, it doesn't matter. Yeah, just like I talked with you about B.J. Finney, the Seahawks are paying his remaining signing bonus. The Bengals are paying Carlos Dunlap's remaining signing bonus, which means you don't owe him guaranteed money for next year. You could get out of that $11.5 million, $11.25 million next year, scot free. You move him in the offseason. You cut him.
It's not going to. It's not going to. It's not going
to cost you nothing.
Yeah. So if you just look at this deal, you're looking at it, and obviously just the vacuum of it's this year.
Yeah.
All this deal is all we're talking about is right now. Is right. What is he going to provide in the final, 10 games? No, what are we at? How many games we got really in here?
Yeah, 10.
Yeah, 10 games of the regular season and the postseason. Mm-hmm. That's all you're focused on. They did this move to clearly give them something because they needed whatever it was, and you're not going to get anyone of really any great value at this time of year because everyone's kind of looking for the same thing. You find guys who are the prime examples of this right now are guys that are disgruntled and playing on bad football teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we talked about Dunlap from the get-go. That's why J.J. Watt's name has been mentioned several times. He's on a bad football team. He's been on a he wants to win. And so that's why he was going to be available. Kerrigan, the same deal there in Washington. There was a fire sale in Dallas because Dallas is saying, we're done.
Right.
So here's Everson Griffin. Take him off our hands. It's the same thing, they did with Yannick Ngakoue. It's not worth it. We're just moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Because, we're done. Our season's over.
So we're focusing on the youth and getting rid of money, yeah.
So those are the guys you obviously have to focus in on. And it'll be curious to, again, I never close a door on, and I think I will include you on this as well, never close a door on any of these moves and what they can and can't do. There is only, three people in the world that know what they can actually do.
Yeah.
Actually 100%. Do.
It's like John Schneider, Matt Thomas.
And Pete Carroll?
Maybe Pete Carroll. I would believe he doesn't even get in the weeds on
that. Those are the guys. Let's just take people that hear Matt Thomas's name thrown. He is their guru, their money cap guru.
He's their Slick Cap.
He's their yes.
He is their, we have Matt Mikolas, they have
call
Matt
him
Thomas.
Slick Matt.
Yeah.
Those guys know what they can and can't do.
Right.
100%. So when you hear, wow, there's no way they can pull this off. Well, okay. Those guys, they obviously felt they could pull it off, and they did pull it off because they know truly what the number is.
Mm-hmm.
They truly know what the guy's deals are in the future and how they can massage it. All right. We'll get back into Carlos Dunlap. I promise it's the biggest news of the day. Brisket and a Ball with Tony Softly coming up at 11:20. Factor Fiction, 11:35. Can we pivot for a moment, talk a little baseball with our guy Jeff Nelson, former Mariners reliever, who now is the star in New York City. He is the star there in the MLB Network, and MLB.com. He does a podcast at the New York Post. We're going to talk a little baseball with our guy Nelly coming up next.